Have you ever had a house fire?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah, my parents did on Thanksgiving. Of
oh, I think you did tell me that.
2014, maybe? Yeah. They lived in a hotel for months.
Oh, no. Well, that wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be.
No, sorry.
It's okay.
Have you ever had a house fire?
I haven't. Mm. Yeah.
We can change that.
There it is.
Yep.
Hello, hello, and welcome to one of our recap episodes where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas watching Degrassi The Next Generation from beginning to end. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and join me every other week with Ezra Parter as we watch these characters do whatever it takes and make it through.
Welcome back. This is Cuckoo Bananas! Exclamation point. A Degrassi colon The Next Generation podcast. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and I'm here with
me, Keely Bell.
Wow.
We're doing this joke where I pretend not to know what I'm supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm Ezra Parter, and I'm here to say what I'm supposed to say.
No, you're supposed to rap over that.
Oh, sorry. You go. You have to do a beat. I'm Ezra Parter, and I'm here to say my girlfriend beatbox in a lazy way. She doesn't quite have it, but she's trying real hard. And don't you know that also makes my dick hard?
You was trying hard with hard.
I know.
Lazy.
Uh-huh.
Stephen Sondheim would never.
He's has a he ever?
Has he ever what?
Rhymed a word with itself?
I'm sure he has.
Yeah.
I'm sure he has, in fact. We've got some chaotic energy.
We've got chaos energy right now. I think because that episode was
chaotic. Chaos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very chaotic. But before we dive into the episode,
mm-hmm.
what have we been up to?
What have we been up to? We went to a murder mystery Halloween party.
That was very fun.
Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. made a couple friends.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I'm excited to hang out with them again if we ever get to.
Yeah, I invited them to my show on tomorrow.
Oh, fun.
I don't know if they're going to come.
Cool, cool. What if they come and they're like actually super religious and then it turns out
oh, yeah. Tomorrow's show might be the worst thing to invite a new person to because yeah. it's going to be offensive.
Yeah, I know. For the listener who does not know, you do a show called The Message.
Yes, where me and a couple friends play the pastors and staff of a scammy church.
Yes.
And we try to convince our audience to give us money by curing them of sins, but the yeah. sins are very, very absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're very funny, and it's a really funny bit. However, very offensive.
Yeah. Our last show, we had one of the cast members literally lost a friend because she was so upset.
Wow.
And my friend who was like, but I told her before what it was going to be, so I don't feel bad. I feel like she was wrong.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. I hung out with some friends yesterday, which was fun.
Yeah.
We got dinner, did some karaoke. So that was fun.
Yeah. You've been karaokeing all over the place.
I have. Oh my God. I can check it off two more times on my bucket
yeah.
list. I forgot. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Cause your bucket list is just do karaoke before you die.
Do karaoke. It's do karaoke 800 times. No, I have 6 spots for doing karaoke in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So now I can cross off 2 more. That's mm-hmm. so exciting. Okay.
We could set it up at the party on Sunday too.
We don't need to do that.
Okay.
Because if we did, it would have to be spooky-okey. And it's not less fun. It's just harder to come up with songs
I guess so.
To sing.
I'd do the monster fuck.
I know you would. I know you would.
Google it.
If we did spooky-okey, you would do the monster fuck. And I would do... Ooh. I am caught betwixt... the Hocus Pocus version of I Put a Spell on You.
Mm.
and the Kristen Chenoweth cover of Witchy Woman from the Bewitched film starring Nicole Kidman.
Wow.
From 2004 or something.
I forgot about that movie.
It's me too. And then I had like a spooky playlist on one time, and then my playlist ended and it played another song that it suggested to me, and it was Kristen Chenoweth doing the Eagles Witchy Woman.
That's awesome.
Very weird.
A witchy woman walking down the street.
Just spooky versions of normal songs.
Yeah. Name one.
Uptown Girl. That's what I was trying to think of one for.
Okay.
Scary Clown Girl.
Uptown Girl. She's always running from the uptown monster. No, that's not very good.
No, it wasn't.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, I was going
to say. I also don't know the song very well.
Like Uptown.
Uptown Ghoul.
Uptown Ghoul. Yeah, I love that.
Uptown Ghoul. Her guts are falling out. She's Uptown Ghoul.
Okay, have I asked you this question? What do you think of when you think of a ghoul?
I think of the ghouls from The Witcher.
And what do those look like?
They look kind of like risen corpses that have maybe been
We
like
have talked about this.
A little bit like animalized.
Okay. Okay. I can't remember what Daniel's response was.
I don't know.
But whenever I think of a ghoul, I think of like, okay, imagine a ghost.
Yeah.
Now stretch it out. Make it a very tall, big
tall ghost. Okay.
Give it hands.
Okay.
And the hands are kind of like... Which one is the Pokemon? So there's Haunter, Ghastly, and Gengar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
the one with hands.
Haunter. Gengar has hands too, but you definitely mean Haunter.
Yeah. Give it those kinds of hands.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where the eyes are, where the ghost eyes are, put little lights.
Ooh.
And then open the mouth wide and give it ghost teeth.
Oh.
So like the teeth are not teeth. But they are teeth-shaped.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But they're like radios or what are they?
They're the same, I almost said fabric, but like the same make of the rest of the ghost.
Okay, okay.
Like it's one continuous specter with like glowing eyes.
Gotcha.
That's a ghoul in my head.
Yeah, that's, you made that up.
I don't know. And but like what's weird is that I listened to a book. What was it called? Jake something. It was like a book about a young black boy who can see ghosts.
Okay.
And the way they describe, I don't remember if they were ghouls or if they were like specific ghosts or something. I think it was ghouls. The way they described ghouls in that book was exactly how I've always pictured ghouls.
Whoa.
And I was like, whoa, we are here. We yeah. are
I mean, forgive me, but maybe it's a black thing.
Maybe.
Because... This is horrible, but when you first started describing it, I was like, okay, so you're saying white sheet stretched out super thin and tall with human hands. I think that's just the KKK.
Whoa. You know what? You might be onto something here.
Really?
You might be onto something here.
Hmm.
Yeah. You just analyzed my life.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
Speaking of analyzing, and I promise we'll get to the episode eventually.
Okay, okay.
But like we haven't, so like for the listener, if I keep this in, I just got here. I got here, we watched the episode, and then we started recording. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really been able to catch up.
That's true.
This morning, Alicia Hayes sent me a TikTok, and she...
Do they know who that is?
Yeah, she's been on the pod.
Oh, okay, okay.
She sent me a TikTok, and it was a girl talking about a person... who did a 150-page document analysis of Carly Rae Jepsen's discography.
Oh, my God.
And he analyzes it in such a way, talking about how Carly never sings about requited love. And she is in a constant loop of loving somebody who will never love her back and wanting to escape with them. And all of her songs fit that theme.
Interesting.
And I was like, that... is wild. And I read it and I was like, that's crazy, because like I know those things.
You read 150 pages?
I'm partway through.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's it's not 150 full pages, because some of it is like he puts the song lyrics in it, so then you know, sure, you're skipping, yeah, lines and stuff.
A lot of it's pictures.
Yeah, yeah. But I knew all these things, right? Like, mm-hmm, I always knew that what the songs conveyed to me, and I've always liked her music because it's this kind of desperate girl pop. There's a desperation in it.
Yeah, I think when we went to the concert, you actually described it that way.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's a desperate girl pop, and I've always loved that about her music. But the way he like really breaks it down, I was like, whoa, that's really cool. Anyway.
Interesting.
But yeah. Yeah.
What do you think that says about her life?
Either that she is in a constant loop of unrequited love, mm-hmm, or she found that is marketable.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of it to me. Mm-hmm. That's my guess. Like, she knows how to write it and she knows that it's marketable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, this is, guess what, guys? This is the sixth episode in a row that we will have uploaded in six weeks.
We did it.
Well, that is if I edit and post this on time.
Yeah, well, I assume you will.
I will.
We have plenty. We're giving plenty of lead time.
Yes, yes. But yay, we did it. So I'm thinking maybe after this I might try to do a character analysis episode with Daniel. But the thing is, like, our schedules are so opposite now.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find time to do that.
That man is so busy.
Mm-hmm. And he's seeing apartments. He's seeing one actually probably right now.
Ooh, is it around here?
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm happy that I did this. And I can cross this off on my bucket list as well.
Yeah, great.
That's so great. Mm-hmm. But speaking of
moving.
I wish
you wouldn't call it bucket list.
Well, my 2023 bucket list. Before 2023 kicks the bucket.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of moving.
Yeah.
Ellie moved in this episode.
She sure did.
She sure did. And you predicted that.
I did.
Yeah, you had. It was not an exact prediction. I think you said, you did say this is an episode where we rehome Ellie. Mm-hmm. But then your joke prediction was that she was going to move in with Sean.
Yeah, I didn't think that would really happen.
Yeah, it does.
Because it would be crazy for two teens to live all on their
Wouldn't
own.
It? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be crazy? Mm-hmm. It is, however, one of my favorite tropes. Like, it's like an offshoot of the found family trope.
Sure, yeah.
It's like, okay, we've got found family, which is a lot of things, right? But then underneath the found family umbrella is a really tiny niche that is two teenagers cohabitating when they really shouldn't be. And that is, I love that. I love that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is definitely a situation where it doesn't not make sense.
Like, no, yeah, I think it makes sense.
They shouldn't be because somebody should be looking after them, but right, not because in their particular circumstances they should not be.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They shouldn't be because they're children.
Yeah, they shouldn't have to.
Yeah. And.
But ultimately this is best for both of them.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
So this is one of those episodes where it feels like a lot of scenes just go by really fast. So some of my notes feel bad, but it's fine.
It moved quick.
It moved
sure.
really quick. And like some of the scenes, it was just kind of like they were the whole purpose of them being there was for one or two lines.
Yeah, totally.
And so it's like when I would write down my notes, I'm like, I don't fucking know what to say for this scene. So apologies if my note taking was bad this time. But
apology accepted.
Thank you. So we open up the episode and Ellie and Sean are asleep on his couch and she wakes up and realizes that they overslept. And I think my favorite line in that moment is when she goes, home by 11 does not mean AM.
Yeah. And she's like, is your phone ringer off? Is that why my mom didn't call? And he's like, no, I think she just is
didn't
drunk.
Didn't call. Yeah. And yeah. Ellie's like, and the way that Ellie clings to this idea that her mom really, really cares about her more than she cares about her alcoholism. Mm-hmm. Is so sad. Like every yeah. time somebody's like, hey, your mom might suck, she's like, no, she just really secretly loves me a lot.
Yeah.
And it makes me so sad.
I think it is true though.
Yeah, it like, is true.
She's not capable of overcoming the alcoholism right. to perform like a mother who cares, but right. she does.
At the end of the day, really does care yeah. about Ellie and her well being.
Yeah.
But so she so Sean tries to talk to her about her mom being an alcoholic, and Sean, his parents were alcoholics. Mm-hmm. So he knows mm-hmm. what it feels like to not have been prioritized in his home. But Ellie doesn't want to hear it. She leaves. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, you should really just move in. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. No, go ahead.
And she has walked out the door and he's like, you should move in. And then she opens the door and walks in with a big old smile on her face. Like, what did you just say?
My boyfriend wants me to move in.
He wants you to move in with him. And like, this is possibly my favorite character trait of Ellie's that I think is often overlooked. It is that aside from the hard exterior, all the eyeliner, aside from the gothicness, the she pretends not to care attitude, mm-hmm. she in her heart of hearts is a hopeless romantic. Mm-hmm. And that is something that shows up for the rest of her time on the show. It is like, I love that about her. It's so sweet and cute. She's like she pretends like she doesn't care. And then like something like that happens. She's really just a girl. Like mm-hmm. she can't help but be a girl.
Yeah, she looks so excited. Mm-hmm. And then she's like in the back of her head, like, wait a minute, what?
Like, fuck? This is crazy. We're teenagers. No. We're 16.
Yeah.
So then the opening credits happen. Then we go to school and Ashley and Ellie are talking at school. Mm-hmm. And this season is really good at interweaving all of its potential plot lines together, because Ashley just mentioning that her dad's boyfriend is coming with them to open house is really interesting. Yeah. And like it will come up later. And like her dad and her and his boyfriend come up later in the season. Like this season does a good job of interweaving things.
Oh, OK.
And Ellie's like, yeah, my mom's not really doing well. And Sean asked me to move in. And Ashley's like, what?
That's huge.
That's crazy. And she's like, well, are you going to do it? And Ellie's like hesitant because she's like, well, my mom needs me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's really the sad part. Is that she has to feel like she has to take care of her mom and not the other way around.
Totally. Totally. And that is the like, that's the kernel of truth that this episode hits pretty well.
Yeah. So then we hit our B plot, which is I didn't forget about this plot. However, when I said that Manny had her menace era last season, mm-hmm. I forgot that it does indeed come back this season. Manny's menace era, she took a small detour from being a menace for Emma to be the menace, and now Manny's the menace again.
Yeah.
So she walks by, she's holding what, like buckets for some reason? Like she looked like
car
a milkmaid.
Wash buckets. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, for the car wash. I was like, why is she holding buckets like a milkmaid?
Well, they didn't end up using them at the car wash because they just sprayed everything with hoses.
Yeah.
But that's what they were for.
Yeah. And so she walks by Spinner and she's like, hey, Spinner, could you maybe help me with the Spirit Squad car wash? Because Paige is sick, as you know, and when Paige is out, Manny is not co-captain, she's second in command. Mm-hmm. So Manny takes over for the cheerleaders when Paige is gone. Mm-hmm. And so Manny's like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with this car wash. I need somebody to help. And Spinner's like, why would I help you? And she's like, well, you have a band. Your band can play and provide entertainment for the car wash. And Spinner's like, well, yeah, but the Squatch is not my band. Downtown Sasquatch is not his band. And then she goes, Craig.
Right. I hadn't thought about the fact that your band is Craig.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't consider that Craig would be there. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Damn. Dang.
Shoot. I should have thought about that.
So you should ask Craig for me if you guys can play at the car wash.
Because obviously I didn't think of this, but it would be awkward for me to ask Craig. Yeah. So you have to, which I never considered before.
Yeah. And Spinner's just like, okay, yeah, I'll ask Craig. And she's like, oh my God, thank you so much. And what did she say? She like then turns back around and is like, oh, and tell Craig
to bring his camera.
To bring his camera. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
Because she's going to be in a swimsuit and she wants him taking pictures.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she begs him and then he finally agrees and she's like, hell yeah. And so she walks away because Manny, as we know, has the power of seduction. Mm-hmm. And she can get boys to do anything.
She really does just get what she wants.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. So then Ellie and Sean are doing a project together, like putting together like a poster board of some sort.
Yeah, he's making a presentation for...
Oh, for Open House.
Open House about what the auto shop does.
Yes. And they're negotiating moving in. Mm-hmm. And Sean is like, you should just move in. And she's like, I cannot do that. Like, my dad is deployed. My mom is going through a whole thing. Like, I need to be there for her. I can do dinners at your place, but I have to be there at night. Mm-hmm. And Sean is, like, annoyed by that. And he leaves, which, like, okay, I understand him being annoyed that she doesn't want what's best for her.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But at the same time, dude, you're both minors. Like,
yeah.
if she chose to do this with you, that would be great. And that would be a cool diversion from the norm. But her living with her mom is the norm.
Yeah.
It's, like,
it's not like she's like, no, I will not wear pants.
Yeah.
Also, he says, let me make this simple for you. Move in with the man who loves you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the first time that he'd said, I love you to her.
That, yeah, I didn't even think about that. It might have been. It might have been.
And she distinctly doesn't say it back.
Mm-hmm. But he's also implying that her mom doesn't love her.
That too.
Which, like, that's simply untrue.
Yeah. And not fair.
Yeah, not fair. So then... best scene in the episode. Ellie's mom is drunk at Open House.
Oh my god.
And she is in
on
her menace era.
Fire. She is so funny.
She's a comedian.
Yeah.
ENNE. Mm-hmm. at this Open House. First of all, she is talking to Mr. Simpson and she's like, "Oh, well, Ellie's never at home anymore. She's always at her boyfriend's doing your homework." And Simpson's like, and she's like, tell me, do you assign all assignments in pairs? And he's like, no, actually, most of them are singular. And she's like, I'll hold you right there, Mr. Sampson. And he's like, Simpson. And she's like, like the cartoon. It's priceless.
The idea that O.J. Simpson is probably the biggest star. Well, he's very famous for his murder at this point.
Right.
But like the idea that the name Simpson is only for the cartoon is hilarious.
That is really funny.
And her reaction to it is incredible. I loved it so much.
I bet she drunkenly falls asleep to the Simpsons nightly.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. The Simpsons. Bum 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 ba dum dum Snake Simpson.
Then they see Ashley and her dad and her dad's boyfriend in the hallway. And Ashley's like, Mrs. Nash, this is my dad and his partner. And she's like, partner? Do you guys run a business together or something? And
or are you do you mean in business or pairs figure skating?
Pairs figure skating.
Because she knows that they're gay. She's just making jokes.
Yeah.
She's not confused at all. She's just being a heinous jokester.
A prankster, if you will. And Ashley's dad is clearly like, he's dealt with homophobia before. And he's like... actually, he's my life partner. And she says, oh, it must be nice to have a man around. My husband's off fighting in the war.
And they're both like, oh, that sucks.
That
and
sucks.
She's like, well, you wouldn't know. Or I guess maybe you would. Do they let you people in the war?
Yeah. Do they let you people in the military? And it's oh my God.
This went from like, okay, kind of like ribbing, joking to like, oh,
full on homophobia.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Don't ask, don't tell was a hot button topic at this time.
Definitely.
And
she tops it all off with one more joke.
What does she say?
She says, you could redecorate the enemy to death.
Yes, you can redecorate the enemy into surrender.
Into surrender, yeah, that was it. Oh, my God.
And Ellie is like, oh, my God, Mom, this is not time for stand-up. Goodbye.
And I feel like
Ashley's dad's partner was like kind of laughing at it.
I bet he was.
I my thought was like, oh, maybe this is the actress improvising, and it broke the scene partner. That
like,
was because it didn't seem like right for the character to be laughing at the joke.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think maybe Ashley's dad is the more serious of the two.
That could be. That
and then
be.
His boyfriend is the more lighthearted, can mm-hmm. take a joke. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. That could be too. Yeah.
Speaking of, didn't Ashley's dad was in the military?
Yeah.
Because he'd shrapnel.
Yeah.
Because he still had shrapnel in his side.
That's right. He literally was in the military. I forgot about that.
I forgot about that, too.
That's so funny.
So then Ellie and her mom come across Sean. And Mrs. Nash is like, oh, that's your boyfriend. And Ellie's like, And then she goes up to Sean and she's like, basically like, accosts him for constantly having Ellie at his place, and she never sees Ellie anymore. Sometimes, mm-hmm. sometimes I forget what she looks like, and
everybody's thinking that's not from her not being there; that's from the alcohol.
Yeah, yeah. So then Sean is like, "I care about her, okay?" And Ellie's mom looks at him and she goes, "Not okay." And
then she walks away. I want her to have a boyfriend who hates her.
Honestly.
What does that mean?
Like, I think she means, like, his
that
version.
Doesn't make up for everything.
Well, I think she thinks that his version of caring about her means that he's taking Ellie away from what she thinks that Ellie should be prioritizing, which yeah. is keeping her on her side so she doesn't vomit in her sleep and choke.
Mm-hmm. totally.
Yeah. And so then she walks away and drags Ellie behind her. And Ellie's just like, oh, my God. So then downtown Sasquatch is rehearsing. When did Ashley join the band?
I have no idea.
When did Ashley join the band? Are Ashley and Craig back together?
I have no idea.
I don't remember. I like honestly like the there no, wasn't a
there was an episode where they became friends again.
Right.
But I don't think they're back together.
They're not back together. But, like, I would have loved a B-plot of Ashley choosing to join a band with her ex who famously cheated on her.
Right.
Like, that's Fleetwood Mac.
And a band that, like, won't play the music she likes.
Yeah.
They don't do that.
Well, I think Ashley has, her music taste has evolved.
Okay.
Since we first knew her with her little piano. You're little, but you don't see it. I'm lost in a void of eternity. So, like, I would have loved a B plot of Ashley choosing to join her ex's band.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's I don't even think I would have loved it. I think that's necessary.
It really is because it caught me so off guard when I saw her there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're rehearsing and Spinner is like, we need to do more gigs. And Craig's like, well, we're not ready to play more gigs. And Spinner's like, well, how are we going to get ready if we don't play more gigs? Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's why I signed us up to play at the car wash. And Ashley goes, yeah, Spinner's right. And Spinner's like, who asked you? Oh, wait. Yeah, what she said.
He's just so ready to jump down her throat. Oh, my God.
Like, honestly, like, there's a lot of like the tiny, tiny undercurrent of Spinner and Ashley feuding mm-hmm. is so funny. Like, I didn't really notice it until we started doing this rewatch.
Oh, really?
Really? Because I'm like, oh, yeah, that is. They are constantly never on the same page.
No, yeah. This is the first time they've ever agreed on
anything. Yeah.
And it does definitely feel like it's on principle that they disagree with
yes.
each other.
Yes. Especially when as soon as she opens her mouth, Spinner's quick to be like, shut up.
And this is not the first time we've seen that.
No.
Think. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the episode where they go to the hospital and see Terry and stuff. They were like him being like, okay, so if Ashley never comes back to school, so. And Paige is like, Spinner. Yeah, their like tiny little feud is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so subtle. So then Craig is like, oh, okay, I guess we'll play the car wash. And Spinner goes, okay, cool. Manny will be stoked. And then both Craig and Ashley are like, Manny? And so, yeah. Fleetwood Mac.
I gotta say though, like, for Ashley not to have connected the dots to Manny already is crazy to me.
Well, like, I mean, she did.
Craig missing it makes sense. But Ashley, as soon as hearing Spirit Assembly, should have been like, hey, that's Manny.
Honestly, but, well, no, because he's dating Craig.
He's dating Paige.
He's dating Paige.
That's why he was the perfect one to ask.
Exactly.
God, Manny is good.
She's so diabolical. I love her. So that night is when the big thing happens. Ellie's house catches on fire because her mother left the stove on.
Yeah, I think soup.
What? But was Ellie sleeping?
Yeah.
Why was her mom making soup while Ellie was sleeping?
Have you never come home drunk and thought, I got to make a fresh bowl of soup right now?
No.
The only way I could sate this hunger is with a fresh, hot bowl of soup.
No, I have not done that.
And you like soup more than the average person. So this doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't think I've been drunk enough.
I guess not.
But yeah, so Ellie's mom has fallen asleep at the breakfast table while a pot was going on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And it caught on fire. And Ellie... The fire alarm starts going off. Ellie wakes up. She comes into the kitchen all filled with smoke. Very scary. She goes up to the pot, goes to try and... I think what her... Because you were asking, like, why would she do that? Why wouldn't she, like, pour something on the pot?
She decided to touch it.
Yeah.
And try to move it into the sink, which, of course, put it nearer to the drapes, which caused the fire to get worse. But, yeah. Her instinct was to just bare hand touch this burning pot.
Right.
And I'm like, I know that this is an emergency situation and you're not thinking clearly, but, like, you have towels and a sink right there.
Right, right.
Just put on a fucking pair of gloves, you know, a kitchen gloves, like a oven mitts or whatever right. first. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But she's a child. She shouldn't have to do any of this.
Yeah, she's a child. It was the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Lots of things not working in her favor.
Her mom's not waking up when she tries to wake her up. Yeah. I'm not saying she's at fault.
No, I know. But you questioned why she would touch the pot. And yeah. I understand.
But it's the same thing as like when you're watching a horror movie and you're like, don't go up the stairs.
Right.
Like, you know that that's not in their control. It's
exactly.
Just stupid.
It's what needs to happen for the plot to go along. Yeah.
Exactly.
So... Yeah, and then Ellie has to drag her mother out of a burning building,
mm-hmm.
which, like, first of all, Stacey Farber, 5'2", and probably shorter at this point in time in her life.
Sure, yeah. She's
and that young. Woman was tall and large.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't imagine having to drag a human out of a burning building as a child.
Yeah.
And so then they are at the hospital
mm-hmm.
after being treated. After the fire, and Ellie has a burn on her hand from obviously trying to touch the burning pot.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom is like, huh, I must have inhaled a lifetime's worth of smoke in there, trying to make light of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ellie's like annoyed and she's not talking to her. And her mom's like, look, I'm not proud of this, Ellie. I almost burned the house down. And Ellie's like, yeah, because you were fucking drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and her mom and Ellie's like, I need to go. I need to sleep. I have school in the morning. And her mom's like, okay, yeah, there's a pullout at Elaine's. And Ellie's like, Elaine's? She lives all the way in Fergus?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? I would love to know in relation to Toronto.
If I had to guess, I'd say China.
Let me see. I'm going to Scotland. Because I'm like, Fergus. That's like Merida's dad's name. So Fergus, Ontario. It's 66 miles from Toronto to Fergus.
Damn.
Yeah. So
that's far.
It's far. It's about from here to where my parents are plus 20 more miles. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
You're talking about a 2-hour drive there.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, what was Ellie supposed to do? Not come to school the next day?
Yeah. That's crazy.
So, yeah, they're supposed to go to Elaine's. And Ellie's like, no, I don't want to go to Elaine's. And so she comes up with the bright idea to tell her mom that she's going to stay at Ashley's. Mm-hmm. When really we know she's going to go stay with Sean.
Yeah, definitely.
And her mom is like, well, then I wouldn't have to drive you to school. And Ellie's, and because obviously they have to be out of the house while it's being like taken care of
mm-hmm.
after the fire. And she's like, I wouldn't have to drive you to school. And Ellie's like, yes, yes. Yes. Let me go to Ashley.
Your idea is mm-hmm. good mm-hmm. that I told you to have. Yes. Yeah.
And so her mom agrees.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing we know, Ellie is at Sean's place And Sean is like, hey. And she's like, you mentioned the words move in. And he's like, nice.
Yeah. What a, like, writing bad, real person saying that bad.
Yeah.
Like, her, it's just, like, literally anything else would have made more sense for her to say.
You mentioned the words move in. Like, first of all, he didn't mention it.
He asked you if you would move in.
Multiple times. Like, if there's, yeah, that would make sense if, like, he offhandedly was like, oh, you can just move in. Right. And they hadn't spoken about it since. but then she would be like, oh, you mentioned the words move in.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, oh, well, that was a joke. But for them to have talked about it multiple times, and then her first thing to say is, you mentioned moving in. Like, no, you guys had many conversations about it.
The line should have just been like, so about moving in.
Yes.
That's all it needed to be.
Yes.
That's all it needed to be.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
So then after school the next day, they come home sweet home and they're all domestic and shit. And they walk in and they're like, oh, and Sean lets her know that he's cleared a drawer out for her. And she's like, what? Really? And she's really feeling good. And she like says they should get a pet. And
all we need is a pet.
All we need is a pet. And he finds her protractor. It's a protractor, right? He finds her math thingy. And then inside of it is her protractor.
She cuts herself with.
Which she used to cut herself with. And he was like, why do you have this here? I thought you stopped cutting. And she was like, I did. I just didn't want to leave it there. And then he's like, you lying to me? And she's like, I wouldn't lie about this. So we know at this point she has not cut.
She hasn't been cutting, but she still feels attached to it.
Yes. Especially now that she's in a time of stress. And I think what's weird about this episode, they make such a point many multiple times in this episode to tell us that Ellie and Sean are not having sex. They make it such a point of conversation all throughout the episode.
Yeah.
It's so strange because he's like, because she says like, oh, I'll take the couch. And he's like, no, you take the bed. And she's like, but it's your bed. And he's like, no, like you're the one who just had to evacuate a fire. Like, you take the bed. So we know then that they're not sleeping in the same bed. And then we'll find out later that someone's hinting that they're fucking and then they're not. And then we revisit it again.
Yeah.
It's so strange to me that they've feel like they have to keep reiterating they're living together but not fucking.
Right.
Very strange.
It is strange. And it's I don't know, it's I get the impulse, I guess, to be like, this isn't what this is about.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know,
I think one time was fine.
Yeah,
one time
was enough. Totally.
Like, maybe I don't think I even really needed this bed conversation. I think the conversation with Marco could have been enough.
Conversation we'll with Marco to. And then the joke. I think the joke made sense to me.
What joke?
The from what's his face?
Jay,
yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because that is the kind of thing that all teenagers...
That Jay would say.
Well, not even just Jay. Like,
right.
Any teenager finds out that a couple has moved in together, they're like, oh shit, they're fucking.
Yeah.
Any teenager.
Yeah. So true. So then we go to the car wash and Manny thanks Craig for letting his band play at the wash. And he's like, oh yeah, you're welcome. And then Ashley sees them from across the way, which, hey Ashley, I thought you and Craig aren't back together. These are just two single people talking.
Two single people who hurt her deeply.
Yes. So she talks into her microphone and is like, Craig, we need to see you over here for sound check or whatever. And Craig is like, yeah. And so then he leaves. But yeah, Ashley having ownership over Craig right now, not fair. And so, yeah, I kind of, this is where my note taking gets messy, because this is kind of a montage.
It is. A lot of stuff happening with the car wash, with various girls in bikinis. There's a new girl whose name is Darcy.
Yes.
Spinner is spraying people, and then Manny is spraying Spinner. Yeah. And then, yeah, we're
and Craig's taking pictures of it.
Craig's
all.
Taking pictures of it all.
Yeah.
And it all ends. Well, I don't know. I feel like I'm skipping ahead. Actually,
you are. You are. Because then Marco, we go to Marco and Ellie,
right,
talking by the drum set.
Yeah, there's a sound check going on, and then we cut to a quiet scene near the drums.
Which, yeah, I was like trying to figure out where the fuck they are, because I was like, okay, this is the same day. Ellie's wearing the same outfit as when she came home from school, and then I'm like, but where are they? Where's Mark? And then I was like, wait, no, the band is playing the car wash. They must be at the car wash.
It made no sense.
And they're just sitting by the drums and nothing's happening.
Yeah, the drums that last scene Spinner was playing.
Yeah.
And then the next scene Spinner is playing.
Yeah, and they're off to the side. Very weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Marco and Ellie are talking. And this isn't one of those other moments where they like make it known that Ellie and Sean are not having sex. Because Marco is like, tell me, first shower at your boyfriend's house, were you naked? First of all, I would hope so.
She's like, yeah, and alone.
Yeah.
It was a shower.
It was a shower. Who is not naked when they take a shower? But yeah, she's like, yeah, and alone. And she's like, it's not about that. It's about staying, you know, safe from my mom, blah, 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 blah. I actually don't have much from that scene written down because that's really all it was.
Yeah,
right?
It was basically just a, no, we're not fucking. Oh, you should, though.
Yeah.
No, we shouldn't.
Yeah, Marco's like, yeah, take advantage of it while you can. Mm-hmm. And Ellie's like, no, I'm not. That's not what any of this is. So then at the car wash, Rick drives up and it's a very random kind of one-off moment in the episode.
And as he pulled up, I said, what are you doing here? And then Hazel turned and said, what are you doing
here? And Rick is like, oh, you know, just wanting to give back to my school. And then Jimmy takes the hose like a gun, mm-hmm, and he points it at Rick and is like, well, then beat it. Scram. Skedaddle.
Beat it, squirt.
or else you'll get a wash or something like that. And then Rick drives away and they don't wash his car.
But
and
they
then
do spray it from afar.
But they do spray it from afar.
Mm-hmm.
So then Manny comes up to Spinner and she tells him, oh yeah, because the band played, but they weren't good.
Right.
And Manny comes up to Spinner and she says she didn't know what a good drummer he was. And he's like, yeah, well, guess you don't really see me when I'm behind the lead singer, which like, that's good.
Yeah.
That's clever writing.
Yeah.
Because
usually she can't see past Craig.
But like Spinner saying it in a way of just kind of being generically like, yeah, like the lead singer is the focus of the band. But to Manny, Craig is always the focus.
Mm-hmm. Except right now. Or is he?
Mm-hmm. So she hugs Spinner and is like, well, thanks. You saved me. And then she takes her snow cone and she jams it into his back. And I can imagine how that felt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just thinking of like being in the summer and like getting hit with a water balloon and like that kind of just like playful.
It's so flirtatious. And it like, yeah, I can imagine how that felt too, because all the girls were always doing stuff like that to me when I was
young. Oh, yeah, sure. And they like run and chase each other and they're like wrestling and she's like, no, you saved my butt. You saved my butt. And then they like look at each other in the eyes and they like pause. And they're staring at each other's eyes. And Craig
is
watching with his camera. And he's like, and you can see on his face, he's like,
what the damn fuck is going on over there?
And he takes a picture. Mm-hmm.
Which, if I had to guess, is going to come up later.
Maybe.
when he's masturbating.
To Spinner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all can see the end game here is Craig and Spin.
Mm-hmm. Crinner? Is that a slur? Did I just say a slur?
It is now.
Spag. No, nope, another slur. Manson. Manson.
What is that?
Craig Manning and Spinner Mason.
Oh.
Manson. That's their ship name.
I guess so.
Yeah. I like that. Speg.
I like Speg.
What's
Spinner's real name?
Gavin.
Okay, so Gig. Gavig.
Gavig. Kraven. These all sound like slurs.
There's nothing good. These are two terrible names we're trying to mash together.
So true. So then that night, Sean's having a party at his place. It's a housewarming, but Ellie's leaving in a couple days. So why?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess Marco wanted to plan a party for Ellie having finally gotten free and being happy.
Mm-hmm.
But they made it a housewarming party for... That, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, Sean had a housewarming party when he first got his apartment.
Oh, so it's just a callback?
Yeah. So it's okay. Like, I guess just it's a housewarming for Ellie.
Right.
But Sean tells Jay, like, she's leaving in a few days.
Yeah.
And he says, he says, her mom almost burned the house down. And then Alex goes, that would be a housewarming.
That was good.
That was good.
And then Jay's like, wait, so if she's leaving, is it more of like a party for like, coming in, having sex, and then going?
Yeah.
And Sean's like, don't stop it. We don't do that.
As we know on this show, if anybody's friend jokes about that friend having sex with a girl, the girl will be mad.
Mm-hmm.
As Exhibit A, Craig Ashley Spinner. That's where it started. Ashley and Spinner's rivalry.
Oh, right.
Oh.
From when Ashley made those jokes about Craig and Spinner having sex.
Yeah. Yeah. So then Ellie like walks
when
away.
Ashley was like, Speg is doing it. Speg is pegging.
Speg is. I thought that's what you were going to say. Spegging.
Craig and Spinner are spegging.
So then Ellie walks away and Sean. I wonder if they did this on purpose, because it is really like framed the exact same way as the Ashley Spinner Craig scene when Spinner and Craig, like Spinner looks at Craig and does the balloon thing, remember?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like as if he was like sucking a dick.
Right.
And then he goes and he points at Craig and is like, "You.
This is going to be suck you." Dick, dude.
This is going to be you. And then Ashley sees that and walks off, and then mm-hmm. Craig follows her and she's like, "You told Spinner?" This is the same beats.
Yeah.
Like except this time it was verbal. So like mm-hmm. Jay said a thing. Ellie hears it, starts walking off. Sean comes up to her and is like, hey, he shouldn't have said that, mm-hmm. right? And Ellie's like, actually, I don't care that they think we're having sex. I care that I'm sad that I have to leave. I don't mm-hmm. want to go home. I don't want to go back to her.
It's a nice moment.
Mm-hmm. And Sean's like, aw. But then, the nice moment ruined because...
Mama comes through the door.
Who would show up but Mrs. Nash? I don't think she has a first name.
I guess it could be Niecy.
Niecy Nash. Niecy Nash shows up and she also has like a gap in her teeth. So that's she funny. And I jumped straight to the slap in my notes, but there's talking that happens.
There's talking that happens. She's like, what is this? A housewarming party for my daughter?
For my daughter?
Who does not live here, certainly.
Yeah. And she had gone to Ashley's house. Turns out Ellie has not been there.
Been.
she has not been staying at Ashley's. She's been sleeping here at Sean's. And so she's obviously mad that Ellie's been lying to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she takes Ellie and she's like, come on, Eleanor, we're going. And then Sean, which this is, he should not have done this. He should not have taken her by the arm.
No, probably not.
He really shouldn't have opened up the floodgates and touched her body. But he needed her to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes her by the arm and he turns her around and he's like, hey, I think Ellie should stay here. Ellie
this is better for her.
This is better for her. And she slaps Sean across the face and then takes Ellie home.
You will not tell me what's best for my daughter.
Yeah.
And then the camera pans slowly across the party to Jay making the biggest O face you've ever seen.
His mouth huge. And he's shocked. He's like, because I guess
he's kind of like into it.
Yeah, I get. Okay, for one, BDSM awakening for Jay. Two.
Jay, after this, Jay is like, I got to get an older lady to slap me.
I think what a funnier interpretation is that Jay, as we know, has never faced a consequence for being a bad kid ever.
That's
right?
True, yeah.
So he like has never seen discipline. He's never seen an adult like be mean to a child.
Yeah.
Because I bet his parents don't pay attention to him.
Yeah, totally.
So then, first of all, Ellie's mom is so interesting because she's so mad at the party. She's so mad at the party. She like, you know, she slapped Sean across the face. And then as soon as they walk into the house, she's like, should we redecorate? She's like, oh, maybe this can be a fresh start. She's looking at the burned, the charred ashes of their home.
What do you think? Should the kitchen be periwinkle?
Yeah. And Ellie's like,
Mom, what the fuck?
Yeah, you slapped my boyfriend. And she's like, well, he was an asshole.
That boy's no good for you.
Yeah. And Ellie starts snapping the rubber band on her wrist, which mm-hmm. is her therapy technique to do when she's
feeling
trying.
Like cutting.
Yeah, when she's feeling like cutting. And her mom's like, oh, Eleanor, stop that. Because she can't. I guess, yeah, I guess back then this is something that you wouldn't look out for, right? Like you wouldn't look out for these things because it was fairly like new to the mainstream.
I feel like I thought Ellie and her mom talked about
no,
that.
They no, they never did.
Oh, this no. is okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was a like, I know what you're doing, but I don't like it. Stop.
No, no, no. This is the first she's hearing about this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And like, I guess nowadays, because I'm trying to put myself in her mom's shoes, where like if my kid in a time of stress mm-hmm. was inflicting harm to their body,
mm-hmm.
I would be like, hey, are you self-harming? Like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, because that's the thing. Like, obviously, snapping a rubber band is less harmful for you than cutting,
mm-hmm.
but it is still self-harm.
Totally.
You still are inflicting pain on your own body. So, like, I guess this is just a time thing where we know what things to look out for now. But back yeah. then, it was kind of just like, oh, you're just being annoying. Stop snapping that rubber band or whatever.
Yeah. And also, it's a, like, you are not a drunk narcissist.
True.
You know?
So true. Yeah. Yeah. And so when she tells Ellie to stop, Ellie's like, well, if I stop, then I'm going to start cutting. Mm-hmm. And so she empties out her backpack and shows her all of her cutting paraphernalia,
mm-hmm.
Her protractor, a razor. Lots of different things she's used. And then she pulls up her sleeve and shows her mom all of the scars. And her mom is appalled and is like, oh my God. And Ellie's like, this is what I do when I'm here. This is what I do. And I don't love the way Ellie says this.
Mm-hmm.
It feels kind of manipulative. But I guess she is trying to manipulate in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't love the way she says, like, you made me do this. Because no one made you do that.
Yeah.
But
that's how she's feeling.
What she's trying to open her eyes to is that when she's under the stress of living in this home, this is how she's coping. And
yeah.
She's trying to show this to her mom. And
I think she said this, but not as, like, she said it and then she said that where she's mm-hmm. like, this is what you drinking makes me do.
Yes.
Which it is very much the like intervention moment for
yeah.
an alcoholic where it's like, here's how you've affected my life.
Yes.
So it is. I get what she's doing. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And her mom like breaks down and mm-hmm. has like a full like, oh my God, my baby sobbing mm-hmm. moment. And look, that's all sweet and good. When my parents caught any inkling of me self-harming as a teenager, they were like, stop being fucking dramatic. So I don't think that's a realistic response.
Really?
Especially from a drunk narcissist.
Interesting, because I do think it is, because
really?
That's like a drunk being confronted with the consequences of their actions in the
yeah.
same way that like we just saw, you know, Jay see consequences for the first time. This is the first
yeah.
time she's seeing consequences. And she's like, oh my God, the person I care the most about in the world is hurting because of me.
Right.
The person I'm trying to protect is hurt because of me.
Right.
I think it's a realistic
yeah.
response.
Yeah, I see that. This whole thing is like Ellie being like, please understand why I cannot stay here.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom like has a meltdown, starts sobbing. And so then the next day at the dot, Manny is there and Spinner is working and he sees her and he approaches her at the bar and he's like, "Hey, Manny." And she's like, "Hey, Spin." And she's like, "I'm waiting for somebody." And he's like, "Oh, who?" And she's like, "Paige." And he's like, "Oh." And they're clearly both like they know they crossed a line yesterday. They're awkward around each other. Like, she starts to say, like, "Well, I just got caught up with the excitement from the car wash, yada yada."
Yeah.
And I think this shows growth in Manny because, you know, last season when she crossed a line with a boy, she was like, "Oh, I'm going to cross more lines until he breaks up with his girlfriend."
Right.
But now she's like, "No, I don't want to be that girl again. I'm gonna nip this in the bud right now."
Right.
And that's growth.
Yeah, I guess so. I also I might be wrong about this, but I read this whole thing as very intentional by her to get Craig jealous. So now that she's like, "Oh, Spinner's actually interested, I should cut that off."
Interesting.
But I also think, like, she was having a good time with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know where this goes next, but my guess is she's still trying to get Craig back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And when Paige shows up, both Manny and Spinner are like,
"Yeah."
Yeah. And Paige is like, "Oh my God, my two favorite people. Ah, yes. I'm so happy. The car wash went so well. Oh, thank you so much. You guys are a dream team." And they're just like, so then Ellie arrives at Sean's place and her mom had dropped her off and Sean's like, "She drove?" And Ellie's like, "Sober. She's gonna try and clean her act up.
She's going to rehab," she said. Yes.
And she's like, and she said that her mom is letting her stay with Sean until she gets on her feet again. Mm-hmm. And she walks in with a little crate, an animal crate, and Sean is like, "What is that?" And she's like, "I said a home's not a home without a pet." And you said, "Yes, it is." It definitely can be.
It sure is.
And she opens it up and it's a ferret. And Sean's like, "That's a weasel." And she's like, "It's a ferret." Now I'm so sorry to have to do this. I'm going to give you options on what the ferret is named.
Oh, wow. While you're pulling them up, let me just say, when it was revealed that the pet she brought home is a ferret, I wanted to barf. Ferrets are stupid and bad, and you shouldn't have them. They are not good pets. Fact. That one might have been a little cute.
It was really cute.
You're not supposed to have ferrets.
So my options are, is it A, Woody Ferretson? Is it B, Ferret Bueller? Is it C, Ferret Top? Or is it D, Ferret Wheel?
Okay. Well, I don't think that Woody Harrelson was big enough at this point for it to be Ferret Harrelson.
Really?
Woody Ferretson or whatever you said.
Okay.
Ferret Wheel seems too stupid.
Okay.
So my options are, say them again.
Ferret Bueller and Ferret Top.
Ferret Top is a very funny cultural reference at the moment, so that one makes sense. But I do think Ferret Bueller is kind of on game for them.
Okay.
Since they're both not really cutting school, but they're like cutting expectations and living alone. I'm going to go with Ferret Bueller.
Okay. Okay. We'll find out eventually.
Oh, really? Oh, you're not just going to tell me?
Well, didn't we find out about Downtown? I didn't tell you Downtown Sasquatch in
that's
the episode.
True, that's
you
true.
Guessed it, and then I got caught up. I like messed up and then I basically gave it to
you.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Okay.
So no, this one you'll find out eventually.
Okay.
So then yeah, the episode ends.
If it's Woody Ferretson, maybe I don't know his career as well as I think I do, but like that's so crazy to me.
I will give you that's not it.
Okay, good.
And then yeah, we freeze frame on Ellie being happy for once in this episode with the ferret. I almost named it. That would have been so funny.
I wish you did it on purpose.
If I just said all of that just to accidentally name it, that would have been so funny. The episode ends. And how'd you feel?
Yeah, it was a fun one. It was a fun one. I don't mean to come down on the acting, but like Ellie's mom sucks.
She's a bad actress.
Oh my god! And she had so much to do, and she just couldn't have been cast much worse. So
remember the cutting episode in the moment when she's vomiting in the background, where she's like,
yeah, that was awful. It really held this plot back, I think.
It really did.
Because, yeah, there's a lot there. It's a juicy plot, and it is interesting. And Ellie and Sean are both very good actors. Mm-hmm. But, she tanked it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I like this episode more on this watch than I think I have in the past. Mm. It's kind of a steering wheel episode, you know, like things happen that propel other things.
Okay.
So like Ellie moves in with Sean and Spinner and all of them start doing things with that love triangle. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. Like this is all kind of like turning a wheel.
Okay.
It doesn't really feel like much, like it's not like exciting. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we had to suffer through Ellie's mom being awful for 22 minutes.
Yeah.
And yeah, that does bring it back for me. So what would you rate this episode?
I'm going to give it 3 car wash buckets.
Okay. Yeah, I'm also going to give it 3 ferrets.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wish you named it right there. I just think 3 feels fair because I did have fun most of the episode, and the part that was heavy, which I like when they balance a heavy plot and a fun plot.
Yeah.
And the part that was heavy was handled mostly well, but just the acting really tanks it. So it's
I agree.
This could have been a 4,
mm-hmm.
but it is not.
Yeah. I think it could have been for me a 3.5 because I don't think I'll ever like it as much as I do last week's episode.
That's a good call.
Yeah,
that's a good call.
But I do like it a lot. And I like I like everything that happens in it. I love the car wash. That's a fun juice. That's my teen drama stuff right there. Mm. Is we got to the car wash and we've got a boy who has a girlfriend flirting with a girl. And we also introduce Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. Darcy gets introduced this episode. She does become a main character eventually.
Okay.
Sorry, I just thought about her journey.
Wow, you really went somewhere.
I did. Because I was like, okay, the thing about Darcy is we start with her in this season as mm-hmm. like a really like tertiary kind of supporting character. And then I started thinking about, oh, but like she's most interesting in season 6 and 7. But season 5. Is not her finest hour.
Okay.
Season 5 is not her finest hour, and I'm not looking forward to it.
Oh, no.
You're gonna, when that plot comes up, the listener knows what I mean. Mm-hmm. When the plot with Darcy starts happening in season 5, you are going to hate that arc.
No.
You are going to despise it, and I am so sorry that you have to suffer through it. It does involve a character that we already know, but I won't get into it at all.
No, does she try to turn Toby from being Jewish to being Christian?
No, but
she tries to convert Toby.
She does like talk to Toby in a couple episodes, actually. Mm. They talk. But that's all I'm going
to
give you.
So she's willing to speak to Jews. All right.
That's so funny. The listener knows why what you just said is funny. So then
I thought I did too, but I guess not.
You don't know why.
Okay.
So where do you see this plot going?
Well, I think that,
Ellie and Sean living together is going to be tumultuous and bad. Mm-hmm. I think they're both going to struggle in school. I think they're probably going to break up.
Do you think they're ever going to have sex?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think that'll be part of the problem because I know Sean was trying to pressure Emma into it earlier. So, not too hard.
He wasn't pressuring sex. He was just pressuring...
Intimacy.
Intimacy, yeah.
No, he... When you say somebody was pressuring somebody into sex, that sounds way worse than what I was thinking.
Well, you were saying like he was introducing the idea to a girl who wasn't ready.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And clearly Ellie's not ready. So, yeah, I could see that happening again. Mm-hmm. Not in an SA way, but in a, you know, just a way.
In just a teenage way.
Teenage way. Yeah, totally. Thank you. And I think that her mom does not succeed at rehab.
Ooh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
What about the
everything Manny? Else I think Craig is gonna use that picture to get Spinner in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ashley's gonna be so there for it to get back at Manny.
Mm-hmm.
I think Manny, the way that you've phrased things in this episode, I'm really terrified that Manny and Spinner are going to have like their own actual arc.
What did I say that implied that?
You said love triangle. I just don't want... Okay. Like Manny and Spinner as a couple sounds so bad to me. I have no interest in that at all.
Okay.
I think it's because I like Manny and I don't like Spinner.
Mm-hmm.
I think... but yeah, I think ultimately... Manny did all this to get Craig.
Okay. Okay.
And I think Darcy's going to join a neo-Nazi organization.
Okay. All right. Good predictions.
Thank you.
So our next episode is season 4, episode 6, and it is called Islands in the Stream, which is a Dolly Parton song. But there is no way that that's gonna tell you anything about this plot. Okay. So let me look up what the plot is and give you the main player.
Okay.
So it's called Islands in the Stream. That will not tell you anything about this plot.
Okay.
Our main player is Paige.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I will say the hint that I'm going to give is that it is kind of a continuation of this week's episode.
Yeah. So I think what happens is that Craig shows Paige the picture that he took, either on purpose or by accident. And then Paige decides that instead of confronting Spinner directly, she's going to take it out on his car again.
Okay.
And so she takes his car to a monster truck rally sets it up as one of the cars that gets run over. And then she takes Spinner to the monster truck rally as a date and makes him watch his car get crushed.
All of your joke predictions that have to do with Paige are so funny.
Thank you. I like her. She's my muse.
And now do you have any other guesses?
Yeah, it starts the same.
Okay.
Paige sees the picture. I think, you know, I'm going to change it slightly. Craig is getting the pictures developed in the in his dark room. He's developing them. And Paige comes in for some reason and sees the picture. So Craig didn't actually show it to her, but she sees it. And so then there's a little bit of a Paige-Manny Spinner issue that comes to a head in some sort of cheerleading scenario.
Okay.
Or I guess Spirit Squad scenario.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Ashley inserts herself for no reason.
Okay. And I'm going to give you a hint to the B plot as well.
Okay.
We got Toby.
Okay.
And Rick.
Oh, no. Toby and Rick are going to start dating. God damn it.
Maybe.
No. I think maybe Toby is not super aware of why everybody's mad at Rick.
Mm-hmm.
So he and Rick kind of become friends, but then Toby finds out about it and has to make a choice.
Okay. Okay. No joke for that one?
My joke was that they were going to date.
Oh, right, 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 right. Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out next week, or you'll be out of town.
Yeah.
So I guess the following week.
Yeah, it's going to be a couple. It's going to be a November's going to be hard.
Yeah.
We'll make it work.
I'll try and do some character analysis episodes to buy us some time.
Okay.
Okay. Well then, we did it.
Yeah.
We did 6 episodes in a row. Yay, I'm so happy. I can cross that off of my list.
I'm proud of us.
I'm proud of us too. This is easier than I thought. It's honestly like I at one point was doing weekly episodes, mm-hmm. but that was like in the pandemic, you know?
When all you had to do was talk to Daniel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now it's feeling easier to put it into my schedule again.
And babe, I think like when we live together, it'll be easier even more because we can really just find our own downtime.
So true. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited to watch next week's episode to see if your predictions came true.
Me too.
See if Toby and Rick are gonna date. See if Paige takes Spinner to a monster truck rally. to watch his car get crushed.
That was a good one.
That was really funny. Do you remember the one you did for Ghost in the Machine when you said you think Paige is gonna buy a computer and it's the ghost of Terry is gonna be in the computer?
Oh yeah. I like how you think I remember anything I say on the show.
In life? Think you remember anything you say in your life? Yeah.
That's also pretty true, but I'm on this. Yeah. My joke predictions are not something I recall.
Right.
Like, I even, on my hockey podcast, they're like, every week we make predictions, and the host has started getting in the habit of asking us what we predicted and if we were right instead of writing it down for himself, and mm-hmm. I never know. And that's a thing I think about every day.
But yeah, based on this episode,
mm-hmm.
season 4, episode 5, Anywhere I Lay My Head. Are you a Degrassi fan?
I would say this kind of episode pushes me more towards fandom, where it is hitting something heavy in a good way, and it's got some fun other stuff going on that's funny and good. Mm-hmm. But if they're going to do heavy stuff, they got to bring in heavy hitting actors. Like, you just can't. It ruins something that you're trying to treat well by not having it a strong actor doing it.
I 100% agree.
So, almost.
But yeah, we've got 2 good episodes in a row.
Yes.
So that means you are moving toward fandom.
Trending in the right direction.
Cool. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, I don't think I did anything bad today.
You didn't. You were very well behaved.
Oh, you had to keep correcting me on the mic. On my mic technique. Okay. After having to keep reminding me to talk directly into the mic and not have it on the side of my face so I can look cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still love me?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I love you too.
I didn't even have to think about that one.
Nice. I was on my best behavior today.
Yes, you were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then. Where can the people find you on social media?
I can't remember. Oh, no. I'm at Ezra Partier on Instagram. That's the most active place to find me. I will post everything else there, but I will say you should check out the Daily Misinformer on all the things. Public Breakup sketch comedy. We're going to be in Seattle before you hear this episode. So no. Right. This weekend. This Saturday. Currently from today when you hear this. It'll be on Saturday. So if you're in the Seattle area, please come through. And Headbutt Comedy at UCB.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I hit everything.
Yeah, and you can follow me at OMG It's Key on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow the podcast at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast on Instagram, or you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com. All right, well, we did it. All right, thank you guys for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.